Al Horford, two for two, and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Hour number two of the program, and it is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Adam Jones in for Big Jim Murray alongside Chris Gasper as we take you up until 1 o'clock with all your phone calls. 617-779-0985. Gasper, the regular season is mercifully over for the Celtics. 82-game slog. I've been saying this for a couple of months now. It's just been, for the fans now, talking about the fans, a miserable experience this year. Like, as much as you've enjoyed, and I'm not saying anything new, as much as you enjoyed the scrappy Celtics of yesteryear. Kyrie Irving goes down. They're a few breaths away from an NBA Finals last year. They're leading LeBron James at TD Garden in a Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, right? With 5 minutes left or whatever it was. A breath away maybe is an exaggeration, but you get the point. The Isaiah Celtics before that, right? Fun ride, scrappy team, likable team. And then you have this team this year. Miserable experience. But fortunately for them, they have an opportunity to redeem themselves, and I really think it lines up very nicely for them. I think Indiana should be a speed bump on your way to the second round. Noel Oladipo completely changes things, and this is where it changes things. In the postseason, you need singular talent like that to take over, and I think there's no better example of it than I guess it was the third game of the year between these two teams a couple of Fridays ago at TD Garden where Kyrie won it at the buzzer or just in front of the buzzer with the late layup. The Celtics had the guy. The Celtics have the finisher. The Celtics have the best player on the floor, and the Pacers don't. And they won the game because of it. So, I don't know. It feels like a five-game series, something like that. Like, the Celtics should take care of them. They should beat them like a drum. They should take care of them quickly. And then I like Milwaukee better for a second-round matchup for the Celtics. I think Milwaukee's more beatable than Toronto. So I don't know that they deserve this path, but I think the path is set up nicely for them. And I don't know if an Eastern Conference Finals run redeems themselves. I don't know if they need to go to the NBA Finals. I don't know how deep they need to go. And I know you've made this point before. I've heard you make it with Mike and Tony on Fridays. This is going to be a big selling point for Kyrie now, whether or not he wants to stay. So I don't know what that line of demarcation is
emotionally,
for you.
Emotionally, I think it makes a difference.
But that's part of what's at stake here in this playoff run. It's not just redeeming yourself with the fan base. It's selling yourself to Kyrie.
I do think that's part of it. I mean, how does he feel? What's the feeling that Kyrie Irving walks away from this season with? Is it one of accomplishment, the sense they made it to the finals or the Eastern Conference Finals, and he says, okay, you know, we finally figured it out in the playoffs. Man, that regular season sucked, but in the playoffs, I saw what we could be, and Danny Ainge is going to bring in Anthony Davis, and I can get the max contract here. I get more money here, and away I go. Or is he already sort of resigned to leaving here? If it doesn't go well, if they get bounced in the second round, does that sort of cement the fact that he says, this isn't going to work? Like, it's not going to work with Brad. It's not going to work with these young guys. This just isn't going to work. You know, the media scrutiny in Boston, I don't like it. I'm out of here. So I think a lot of that is what's in play here. And look, you know, we look at the Celtics. They've been preaching this for months now, Jones, but I think it's really out of necessity because they've had no choice because they, you know, I don't want to say bomb the regular season, but it's been a massive disappointment. That's why they keep pointing to the postseason, because it's really their only chance to salvage the season and say it was a success. You know, before the season started, they weren't saying it's all about the postseason or let's just ignore the regular season or the regular season is merely, you know, prologue. It doesn't matter. But once they sort of failed during the regular season, this became their go-to statement. I mean, you're even hearing it now from like Danny Ainge, who's comparing them to the 2010 Celtics, which I think is absurd.
Right. That team had, you know, won before.
That team had won a championship. They went 27-27 in the final 54 because they were coasting, not because they weren't capable. This team hasn't proven it's capable.
Right. No, I mean, I completely agree with that. And I want all your thoughts out there on, the path for the Celtics and specifically where it begins with Indiana. 617-779-0985. Let me ask you, Chris, am I exaggerating with the ease the Celtics should get past Indiana? Because I really don't think it should be a series. I know losing Marcus Smart is a loss. We can debate the significance of how much of a loss it is, but I don't think you feel it at all against a team like Indy. I think they should beat them again in five.
Yeah, so I'm saying six. You know, I guess I'm accounting for Smart's difference. You know, I think maybe a game here. And also, there's just, I think, I've said this for a while, Jones, I think this is the ideal first-round opponent for the Celtics for a variety of reasons.
Like, I'd much rather face Indiana than Brooklyn.
Oh, totally.
Orlando swept the Celtics in the regular season.
Correct.
So I'm with you. This is an ideal matchup.
I think it's an ideal matchup, and I'll give you, you know, two reasons for it. One is the one we just talked about. From a pure talent standpoint, I don't think the Pacers have enough to threaten you. But from this standpoint of looking across at the other bench or looking at the court and seeing the way the other team plays with what Brad calls connectedness, with a team spirit, with focus, with discipline, with camaraderie, with all the things the Celtics have lacked, I think during this series, Brad can sort of show the tape of the Pacers and point to the Celtics and say, these are some of the attributes we need. These are some of the things that we need to do. I mean, Indiana was number one in the regular season in points allowed per game. They allowed the fewest points, and they're a disciplined and dedicated defensive team, which the Celtics have not always been. So I think the idea that after every game you're going to be watching tape of this other team that's not as talented as you, but is competing with you and has these attributes you need, I think that's a godsend of a message for Brad Stevens.
So that's an interesting point, and I had not thought about that. It really didn't cross my mind. Can you use Indiana as somewhat of a teaching tool?
Yes.
And will that help to instill some of what Brad wants to instill? I had not considered that. That's very possible because the Celtics, as you just said, have lacked all of that all season. From day one, they've lacked that all season long. So we'll get your thoughts on Indy, 617-779-0985, the matchup. I want to expand a little bit more on Marcus Smart coming up. Do you think the lineup change is a no-brainer? Like, is it just Jaylen Brown, or is there a decision to be had there with Jaylen or Gordon Hayward?
I think it's a no-brainer because Gordon Hayward is so comfortable at this point coming off the bench, and they make him the primary ball handler, which I think is where he's found some comfortability. Look, you know, I think in an ideal world, Hayward would give them a little more outside shooting and be a little better off the ball because that's what he's going to have to do with the starters. But it's obvious in coming back from this ankle injury that he's where he's found comfort and where he's found confidence is with the ball in his hands. And I think it's easier to do that with the second unit. I think Jaylen's better playing off the ball with those starters because he's not a good ball handler.
Blends in a little bit more.
Yeah, he doesn't really need to handle the ball as much, and it's not his strength.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I don't think Hayward's a bad defender, but Brown is maybe a less consistent defender, but also a higher-end defender.
Oh, totally.
So, I mean, he's probably a better fit on that end of the floor with those other guys, too. I thought already I was making a case that Smart should be going back to the bench and get Jaylen Brown in there. And I do like the idea. I like it better when Smart's off the bench. And that may not be the case at all in the postseason, depending on how deep of a run the Celtics go on. I do think, as well as they played with Baines and Horford next to each other in the starting lineup and that five that it had Smart out there as well, I'd love to see them go back to that starting five. Because I think it sets up everything else so much more nicely for Brad. Like, if they were healthy, it's easy to go to Smart off the bench as kind of your guard, your ball handler. It's easy to go to Morris as a wing, and he can replace anyone you want. Hayward, Brown, Tatum. And then Baines is that backup big. Like, I think when you start Baines and Horford, that means you're probably going to play Tice more minutes than you want. I think if Smart starts, or now that Smart's out, you're probably going to play Rozier more minutes than you want. Like, I just think unless Brad's going to do something he's never done and really just lean on his starting five, maybe he will, maybe he won't. He hasn't done it. I don't know how much I like some of those other guys playing minutes. I don't want to see a lot of Daniel Tice. I don't want to see a lot of Terry Rozier. And I don't really think they have a choice.
Yeah, I don't think they have a choice. I mean, I think Rozier's excited for the opportunity. I think he's disappointed that Smart's hurt. You know, I don't think he's relishing somebody getting injured. But I think for Rozier, I think it's easier for him to contribute when he has a clear idea of what his minutes are going to be and what his role is going to be. And I feel like he feels like, now I'm going to play. So I think you'll get a better version of him. I think they'll miss Smart. There's no question about it. And it's interesting, though, the way, because I hadn't thought about it the way you're bringing it up, because all we talk about is the depth of this team and how deep they are. But are they really? Because now you're mentioning some of these names, and I'm like, yeah, I don't really want to see Daniel Tice either.
Right. Like, Tice is going to he has to play.
Yeah.
When you start Horford and Baines, he has to play. If you have Baines coming off the bench, you don't need to see Daniel Tice. Baines is your big. He'll get minutes.
Yeah.
And you know, you're very wing-oriented there. You're upsetting the apple cart. Gordon Hayward has to go into the starting lineup. That takes him out of a comfort zone. I agree he's been playing well with the second unit. Do you want to screw with that? But it does mess with your rotations. Maybe against Indy, it doesn't matter. It probably doesn't matter against Indy.
The thing I'd say against Indy is I think you need the size. You know, isn't that where they debuted the Baines-Horford starting lineup? You know?
Yeah, I mean, I do hear that.
You know, you have Sabonis in there. You have Miles Turner. I mean, they're Thaddeus Young. They're like a physical team that likes to get in the paint. So don't you need that size?
I feel like...
No?
I feel like Tatum should be able to guard some of that. Like,
yeah, defense is not something he's really interested
in. No, but I feel like he should be able to check Thaddeus Young. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think Thaddeus Young will play bully ball against him. I do. I just feel like his he's young. You know, he's at a point in his career, like a lot of young guys, where I think they define their contribution almost solely through what they do on the offensive end of the court. I do. I just don't think he's at a point where he will be disciplined or focused enough to do that.
So, look, Brad Stevens has a choice to make in the starting lineup. It seems like Gasper and I agree. I think Jaylen Brown is the guy.
Yeah.
Which way do you lean with that choice to replace Marcus Smart? 617-779-0985. And how significant of a loss is Smart in this playoff run? Because I really don't think he matters against the Pacers. Long term, I think you can look at that and make a good case that, especially against a team like Milwaukee in round two, you could need him. So 617-779-0985. We'll get to the absence of Marcus Smart on the Sports Hub Celtics show next.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics show. This is Jaylen Brown, the home of the Boston Celtics basketball. 985, the Sports Hub.
Terry Rozier, he's going to pull up and shoot a three. Got it!
This is the Sports Hub Celtics show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub Celtics show here on a Saturday. No Big Jim Murray. Adam Jones in for Big Jim. Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe here. Taking your phone call, 617-779-0985. We started off with an overview. Celtics and Pacers, really more a prediction than an overview, I guess. Didn't exactly dive deep there. But I have the Celtics thumping Indiana five games. I'll give the Pacers a win. The Celtics will lose their focus there, maybe in a game three in Indy or something like that. I don't know. They'll lose their focus for a game. They'll look like their same frustrating selves for a game. But they should thump this team. Gasper, you have Celtics in six over Indiana. And what you said interests me. You think the lack of Smart is going to tack on an extra game in this series. Missing Marcus Smart will tack on an extra game.
Yeah, I think that because he's one of the guys that has some of those intangibles you would need to match this Pacers team that frankly punches above its weight. I mean, that's what
isn't that a regular season thing? The best example I can think of is the Celtics in the first Isaiah run. I guess it was after they acquired him at the deadline the year before.
The 40
before,
and 42
right?
thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they
against the Cavs?
No, sorry, you're right. No, sorry. They made the playoffs in the first year with Isaiah after they got him at the deadline. Sorry, the year after that when they lost to the Hawks.
Okay.
That felt like a team that is similar to Indiana this year, except the Pacers lost a star and the Celtics were healthy. But that was just a team that punched above its weight all year long and just, you know, they were able to get by on effort in the regular season. And then it came to the postseason and effort just doesn't really get it done. Now, I guess that Celtics team, I think they did end up forcing six games, but I don't know. I just feel like that constantly getting by on effort and cohesiveness and good coaching and whatever else, I feel like that stuff runs out in the postseason, especially against talent.
Yeah, I agree. But I think, again, you know, with the Celtics, nobody questions the talent. But you look at this team all year long. Do you think that they have played to the level of their talent?
No, definitely not.
You know,
definitely
the not. Sum, do you think they've reached, as a team, the sum of their talent?
No, definitely not.
No, and I would say the Pacers sort of exceed that. And so
Yes. That's
why I feel like this is, again, a good series for the Celtics because I actually want to see the Celtics. I sort of want to see this series go to six because I want to see them get punched in the mouth, you know, figuratively. And have to respond, and I think that will be good for them. And I think the only way Indiana can win the series, Jones, is to muck it up a little bit and turn it into a rock fight. And I think the Celtics having to fight through that adversity will benefit them throughout this playoff run, will benefit them in the long term.
See, I I said the Pacers have 0% chance of beating the Celtics, but I'll entertain the idea. If Indiana were to beat Boston, I think it's Boston beating themselves. I mean, and I get what you're saying with the muck it up and frustrating the Celtics, and I agree with all that, but it has to be all the same regular season issues that plague them rear their ugly heads, and it's infighting, and it's guys not wanting to share the basketball, and it's sniping at one another and shoving one another and arguing with one another, and like, that's really the only scenario where I see them falling. And I guess that's possible. I guess that's on the table. But I don't see them losing.
I think they need to be pushed, you know, and I'm hoping the Pacers can push them a little bit. And they need to be pushed in the direction and in some of the attributes, the facets that they don't have or that they haven't responded well this year. How many times have you heard Brad Stevens talk about togetherness, connectedness, resolve? How many times this year has he referenced sort of saying the idea of, well, you know, we used to, in the past, you know, we overcame adversity in this game. That's something we used to do consistently in the past, something right. along those lines.
Right.
You've heard it all year long. And I think in a playoff series where it ebbs and flows and the other team's fighting for their life and they have a lot of attributes that you don't have, you might be able to find something and find something about yourself. And look, maybe that's a bunch of basketball psychobabble, but I actually believe it. I do think the Pacers are an ideal opponent for them from that standpoint and can give them the push that they need to not only win the series, but to make a run. Because I'll be honest with you, Jones, I think if they coast through this series and win in four or five, and then they get into a Milwaukee series where they don't have home court and they hit real adversity and they don't have Smart, I think they're out.
Okay, so that was my next question. So you think he's that significant against Milwaukee? I know a lot of people feel strongly about that. Whether that's matching up on Middleton or Bledsoe or whatever his matchup is going to be. Look, I don't know. I am not in love with that Milwaukee team. We were talking about this off the air. Yep. I think I've even talked to you about this previously, and it might have been when it was Jim and I filling in for Felger Maz and you were in, or maybe it was on another weekend.
Okay.
I don't love Milwaukee's talent beyond Giannis. I know that's like a nice like throwaway thing to say, like, boy, besides the MVP, I don't like their talent. or at least the you know, the MVP runner up. But it's really two things with Giannis.
Okay.
He's amazing. I don't think it's high end talent beyond him. Chris Middleton's a nice player. Bledsoe's nice enough, I guess, though he got, you know.
Oh, Terry Rozier owned him in that series last year.
Owned him. Yeah. You know, Brook Lopez, I don't trust at all.
He's had a good year, though. I mean,
he's so soft. I've hated Brook Lopez for years. He did have a nice season.
He protected the rim well and he made threes.
Hate him. Never liked him. Hate him. So maybe that's just a personal bias against him.
Brogdon kills the Celtics when he plays, if he's healthy.
Brogdon's hurt. Mirotić is hurt.
Yeah.
So maybe they're active and they're playing. Maybe they're not exactly themselves. Again, I'm not saying they're all bad players. It's just, to me, it's Giannis and a lot of nice players. It's not Giannis and high-end talent.
Yeah.
I like Toronto's talent a lot more than I like Milwaukee's.
Yeah, I'm down.
And to me, Kawhi is not far behind Giannis. He's not better than Giannis, but he's right there.
Sure.
And I think Toronto's talent is better. So the Celtics have an easier path to me, but an easier path doesn't mean a win, doesn't guarantee a victory. I still believe in the Celtics' talent, at least against a team like Milwaukee, who I think is deficient there. But sure. is Smart going to be a problem in round two? I acknowledge that that's where it would rear its ugly head. But one thing we've seen with the Celtics all year long, when they're down a man, whoever that is, whether it's Kyrie out of the lineup, Hayward, Horford, like whoever it is, when they're down a guy, everything seems to fall together much more nicely. Guys' shots line up better. Their minutes line up better. Like, they're a little higher in the pecking order when they're on the floor. Jaylen Brown's not the fifth option. Now he's the third or fourth. Like, stuff like that. I wonder if there's a bit of a trickle-down that works out in their favor with Smart being out of the lineup, just because anytime anyone's out of the lineup, it works out. And hell, will they miss Smart? Maybe. They didn't miss Kyrie on their way to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. So if they get to an Eastern Conference Final without Kyrie...
I mean, they barely got out of the first round.
True. Fair. They did, but they got there.
That's true.
With Rozier, for God's sake. So they do have Kyrie. If they could get to an Eastern Conference Final without Kyrie, I don't know that Marcus Smart's going to be the deterrent that doesn't let him get there.
So I hear what you're saying. Where I disagree is that I think that you look at this team, most of the time when they're missing somebody, it's somebody who's taking up shots.
Yeah, Smart's not going to... That's not Smart. That's true.
They don't have a lot of guys who can influence the game, and this is what you need from role players. Guys who can influence the game without putting the ball in the basket, or can influence the game on the other end of the court, not the offensive end. They don't have a lot of guys who can do that. They have a lot of guys who define their influence on the game and their contribution to the team through, did I put the ball in the basket or no? And so when you take away one of those guys and you're already lacking that, I think you're just going to miss that. And I think you're going to miss some of the fight. And that's what I was saying before. Like, in a lot of ways, Jones, I feel like if they blow through the Pacers, they're going to get a false sense of security going into that Milwaukee series. And my biggest question about this team is, like, how do they respond to adversity? Because throughout the course of this year, by the admission of the team and the coach, it hasn't been well.
It's been poor.
They have not responded well. And so you blow through the Pacers. Now you're in this Milwaukee series without home court. And you're like, okay, we're back. We figured it out. We're going to beat these guys. It's like, wait, now all of a sudden we're down 3-1 in this series. Like, what's going to happen?
Well, can I play devil's advocate? I think Grandy's been doing this quite a bit.
Yeah.
Couldn't it be like a get right, get our confidence back, get our swagger back kind of series maybe, too? Like, if they roll over the Pacers now, maybe it's not just that they're masking some things or overlooking some things. Maybe that helps them lock in. And maybe that helps them say, oh, it right, could. We are a talented team. This is what we've been capable of all year, and now we lock in.
But maybe it does, and they've been pointing towards the playoffs all year. But again, so wouldn't that confidence like sort of already be there because they already beat the Pacers in those two playoff-like games?
True.
I mean, I'm not totally disagreeing. I just think for this team to reach its potential, they have to have some sort of shared experience where they have to fight for something and fight through something, and that just hasn't been there. I think that will benefit them more in the long run, because wasn't the whole thing at the beginning of the year, there's been so many quotes this year, I've forgotten all of them, but was it Kyrie or somebody who said in the beginning of the year, we're not as good as we think we are?
Probably.
Or something like that.
That sounds like something he would say.
Yeah, so it's like, I just feel like they would revert right back to that, to being like, oh, we got it all figured out, and we're loaded, and now we're just going to like bomb the Bucks, and this will be like no problem, and then it's like, wait, this is a series? Oh, we have to fight? Oh, what's going on here? Like, you're not passing me the ball? Like, give me the ball. You know, I just feel like it could devolve into that stuff all over again. So go back to the Pacers really quickly. I think the great thing for the Celtics is the Pacers are an offensively challenged team.
Yes.
I looked this up. I mean, since Oladipo went out.
I mean, their high scorer is Bogdanovich. Like, that should tell you. That should tell you all. Nice little player, but that should tell you all you need to know. When he's their best scorer, they can't score.
I love the dismissive Jones, nice little player.
He's a nice little player. He's just nothing more than that. That's all.
But since Oladipo went out, so since January 24th to the end of the year, they were 28th in the NBA in points per game. You know, they really struggled. And that, I mean, that's kind of like the Knicks were in there. You know, Knicks were below them, and I forget the other team.
And the Celtics somehow Celtics somehow are still a good defensive team. It feels like they've way underachieved all year. Would they finish sixth in defense or something like that?
I can look it up. I'm not sure.
So that. As frustrating as they've been, you know, statistically, they still grade out as a good defensive team. Not a great defensive team, but a good defensive team. So it's going to be tough for Indiana to score with or without Marcus Smart. 617-779-0985. McCone has all the latest. We'll come back with the Sports Hub Celtics show after his headlines. And I like that Gasper's still not buying in on Gordon Hayward. I respect it. I want to follow up and get some thoughts on Gordon Hayward right after that.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.12:38 here on the Sports Hub. Sports Hub Celtics Show. Adam Jones in for Big Jim Murray alongside Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe. And Gasper, I haven't had an opportunity to ask you about this. I've heard you say time and again that you're not ready to jump in both feet on the Gordon Hayward bandwagon. And I personally have been finding that harder and harder to deny. Like, deep down, I want to say it's been all year. It's only, what, eight games? And he's looked much better in the second half of the year. But it's really only been eight games now where Hayward's been doing it. It's a tiny sample size. So I've been trying to fight it, but at the same time, I'm like, man, he does look good. So I appreciate that you've held firm on this. You're dug in on this. So what do you still need to see out of Hayward before you fully commit?
I mean, I think he can help them, but I think people are pronouncing him to be all the way back. I mean, I don't see it. I think he still lacks the suddenness, the lateral movement and the explosion he had before the ankle injury. And, you know, that's normal. I think we were all a little probably optimistic on what Gordon Hayward would be like this year. I know early in the year when he was struggling, I revised my projection and said, well, it's going to take him 41 games halfway through the season. And then I had to revise it again. And, you know, I think the version they're getting now is pretty good, but I still think it's like 75, 80% of full Gordon Hayward. I just think, you know, the game he had against Indiana, what was it? He was 9 for 9 from the field. Was that it? That was a really good game. And I liked the way that he played, but everything was sort of in the paint.
Yeah, which I was just going to say, it was all at the rim.
Yeah, so you can look at it two ways. People are like, oh, he's going to the rim, and that's good. But the other side of it I look at is that, I'm trying to put this correctly, Jones, you know, one of the big issues for the Celtics this year has been, I think there's a lot of guys who are like, I'm just going to do what I do, not necessarily what the team needs. For this team to be successful, I feel like Gordon Hayward has to knock down shots from the outside. So between the fact that when I watch him drive to the hoop, I don't see the same explosion he had before the injury. And it's good he's willing to drive and get to the free throw line, but I don't think the explosion of the finishing is what it was before. And the fact that I would like to see him take more outside shots within the flow of the offense. Like, I think a lot of what they're doing now with him coming off the bench, it's pretty much like tailored to him. And I think at times during this playoff run and at times during the season, they've needed something else. They've almost needed him to play like a little bit like Ray Allen did when he was here, which is off the ball, knock down jumpers, make really hard cuts off the ball, and get baskets at the rim that way.
Yeah, look, I also wonder too, and I'd agree with some of that, that, you know, he's doing what works for him, maybe not what works for the team. And I didn't realize this. You just said you want to see him knock down more shots. I'm like, what is Hayward shooting from three this year? He's shooting 33%, which is, you know, I kind of,
it's not good.
The Mendoza line for 3-point shooting to me is the Marcus Smart line. So if you're worse than him, then what are we doing? And he's certainly below the Marcus Smart 3-point line this year. Oh, Marcus Smart is an above average 3-point shooter this year. Whatever. If you're below the Marcus Smart Mendoza 3-point line, then you're not shooting it well. So I didn't realize he was shooting it that poorly. And I know the exact game you're talking about where he was 9 for 9. Everything was at the rim.
Yeah. He had some very fortunate calls in that game.
Yeah, and there have been games where he gets to the free throw line. Like, that I like. I mean, there's very few guys who will put it on the deck and go to the rim, and I do think the Celtics need that.
I
always want Kyrie to do more of that. Hayward's capable of doing
Tatum
that, so that's
great.
Tatum should do way more of that. You know, it's almost cliche at this point to say it's the Kobe long two fall away stuff, but it is true. It is true. He does way too much of it. I just wonder if Hayward's going to be ready to adjust to playoff intensity. And maybe he will. It just feels like he finally caught up to regular season intensity in the final month or so of the year. So if things step up, and again, I think the Pacers are a really nice matchup to start with for a variety of different reasons. This is another one. Is it going to be a true playoff intensity? That Friday night game at the Garden was. The other Friday night in Indiana decidedly was not. You know, they ran over them. They ran away from them. So I still wonder if the Gordon Hayward you're currently getting is the Gordon Hayward you're going to get in the postseason, because it's different. You know, I don't know if it's as much of a change from like regular season hockey to Stanley Cup playoff hockey, if it goes up that much, but it's going to go up. The intensity level is going to go
question.
Up. No
question. Yeah. I mean, there's no question about that. Yeah. You know, I still think Hayward's going to help them, and I like what I've seen. I just think people are rushing to say like he's back to what he was in Utah.
Do you think he's at the point, you said you think the absence of Smart can lose them a game?
Yeah.
Do you think they're at the point where Hayward can win them a game? Like in a series, just like he can take over a game and win them a game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's capable of doing that. I mean, he's sort of shown it throughout the year. The game in Philly before the All-Star break.
Yep.
Sacramento game, obviously the game winner. Yeah, I think he's capable of doing that where he has like a really big game. We've seen that. I mean, I think he's been a lot better in the second half. You know, where I'm sort of dug in is just this idea that he's all the way back to being what he was in Utah. I just feel like if you're saying that, then you probably didn't watch him in Utah. I mean, the guy was phenomenal. You know, I'm not sure people really realize how good he was before. I mean, he carried that team to the playoffs, and then they ran into Golden State. But he was such a dynamic talent in Utah, and that's not what I see. He's not the same guy. I'd say he's, you know, 75% of that guy.
No, he's definitely not that guy yet. And I don't know if you're going to get that guy. You know,
that's a scary thought.
I still don't know if you're going to get that guy next year or the year after that.
I don't want to think about that. That is a scary thought, man.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it? So you're assuming he's just going to be back next year?
I'm assuming that eventually he'll get back to being Gordon Hayward. The Gordon Hayward.
Maybe.
Now he's a Gordon Hayward. Whatever that means.
He's some version of Gordon Hayward. Let's go to Tony and Newton on the Sports Hub Celtics show. What's up, Tony?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well.
Good. You guys kind of just said what I was going to say, but Yeah, like I feel like what Gordon Hayward's doing right now is really, really improved. He's like three times the player he was at the beginning of the year, but that wasn't really saying much. But when he was in Utah, he's arguably a top 15, top 20 player in the NBA. I mean, he carried a Jazz team that was, and they were good, but they weren't a great team. So, I mean, when he gets back to his full self, I feel like the team's going to be a lot better.
Okay. I mean, that might be next year would be the only issue, right? Like when he gets back to his full self. I think they need the Gordon Hayward that we saw at the end of the regular season where he's giving you, call it 15 points a game.
Yes.
And not to just boil it down to just points per game, but he's giving you 15 a game, and then he can win you a game in a series, help you win a game. I don't need him to take over necessarily. I know that's the way I phrased it to you. I don't need him to take it over and win you a game outright, but there has to be a game in there where it's not just he's hitting his 15-point average every night. There's a night where he elevates and he really is right there.
He imposes his will on the game.
Yeah, he's resembling the Gordon Hayward of old. Even if he's not all the way back, there's a game where he looks all the way back. I think if you get that Gordon Hayward, then you're probably in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that. You brought up a question in the break, and we can finish up with this next before we hand off to Christian Arcan at the top of the hour. What constitutes a successful season now for the Celtics? You know, before the season, we all had them in the NBA Finals, or at least I certainly
did. Yeah, Celtics, Golden State, man.
Right.
The lock, right?
And they could even push Golden State a little bit. I felt that way in the offseason. Has that been revised? I think it has. What would constitute a successful playoff run? We'll wrap it up on the Sports Hub Celtics show with that next.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics show. This is Jaylen Brown, the home of the Boston Celtics basketball. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Chris Casper, Jim Murray. The Sports Hub Celtics show. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're coming up on 1 o'clock, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub Celtics show. I've been talking C's here with all your phone calls. 617-779-0985. Big Jim Murray out on this Saturday. It's Adam Jones in for Big Jim. Chris Casper of the Boston Globe alongside. We got Arcan taking over at the top of the hour.
Nice.
So we've been kicking around a variety of Celtics ideas. You just asked me the question, and we actually talked about this on the night show. What constitutes a successful year for the Celtics? And so where are you on that question? Like how far do they have to go in this postseason to say, you know what, they ended up doing what they had to do, or they ended up not being a complete failure?
You remember that Saturday Night Live skit, Lowered Expectations?
Yes.
It's that. I've lowered my expectations for the Celtics. I would say if they just make the Final Four, make the Eastern Conference Finals, that's good enough for me at this point.
So
especially because of the road. I mean, that would mean that they took out Milwaukee.
Let's see, and that's what it is, too, right? It's like if they go through, what did Milwaukee finish with? 60 wins?
60 wins.
So if they go through a 60-win Milwaukee team and get to an Eastern Conference Final, barring something embarrassing happening there, getting swept, or even I would say if they have like a big lead and blow that. that would be equally embarrassing too. You know, if you're up 2-0 or like 3-0 and you blow that.
Yeah, 3-1.
So 3-1. So if I got to see how it plays out, I guess. But generally sitting here right now, if they're in an Eastern Conference Final, they have, maybe that's not how I would have felt in the offseason, but how I feel today, that would be a successful playoff run. I'm not throwing them a parade or a party or anything.
You're saying no duck boats for
no,
that?
No, they won't be picking confetti out of anything like Tom Brady was the other day. They won't be doing that.
We won't be getting the duck boats ready. That's what
you're saying. No duck boats, but I'll look at it and say, okay, you know, as much as we were on them this year, as much as I questioned them, they ended up going on a nice run. I'll give them credit for that. And I think, more importantly, that should be enough for Kyrie to want to stay. I don't know that means he'll stay, but that should be enough to at least...
It should be a signal, a sign.
Yeah, it's something to sell him on.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I think it's certainly better than the alternative, which, you know, first or second round exit.
If they beat the Pacers and then get blown out in round two by Milwaukee, there's nothing to sell Kyrie on. What are you selling him on? You beat the team you were supposed to that didn't have their star, and then you got bounced in the second round by a 60-win team, and you weren't competitive.
Yeah, and
maybe,
I think,
or maybe you were competitive, but you still lost. You can't sell Kyrie on that.
I think Kyrie would look at that and say, these guys still don't get it. Like, I've tried all year long, and they just don't get it. These guys don't get it. You know, I think he needs to see a little, like, progress here. Unless, and I thought about this the other day, Jones, because Kyrie is, you know, he marches to the beat of his own drum. There's no question about that, right? I think he's a contrarian. You know, there's a guy like that here at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, I respect that part about him. Yeah.
So, could you see, like, they lose in the second round, and, like, defiant Kyrie is like, well, this team needs me more. I have to stay. Everybody thinks I'm going to leave because we lost in the second round. So now I'm going to stay because I'm going to prove to all of you that I can drag these bums to a championship.
I mean, you were very much ahead of the curve on this. Like, you never know what Kyrie's thinking from one day to the other. He can say one thing and do something totally different. But all of that said, no, I don't see Kyrie.
I agree. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm playing Jones, you know?
You're not just playing devil's advocate. You're playing the devil is what you're doing.
I'm playing Adam Jones, as they call it around here.
So no, I don't see Kyrie doing that, but I agree. He could change his mind 15 times between now and then.
I honestly don't think like he knows. I mean, do you think he's like,
I think he knows now. I don't know if he knew then. I don't know if he knew, you know, when he told the fans, and I don't know if he knew in the offseason. I think now he knows.
I think he has an idea of what he's going to do.
I think the whole league knows everything. I think that's why Magic Johnson, quote-unquote, stepped down the other day. Because I think everybody knows where all these guys are going. And Magic's like, oh, crap, we're not getting anyone.
Oh, now that is good. I had not thought of that. You think so? So you don't think they're getting anybody there? You don't even think they're getting, like, Kemba?
Well, yeah.
Are you saying Magic does not want to do his... He's like, Magic's like, yo, I am not going to do my whole Magic Johnson routine for Kemba Walker.
Yeah, I just think that they're not getting any of the premium guys. They're not getting Kawhi. They're not getting Kyrie. They're not getting Durant. They're not getting...
They're not getting Klay?
They're not getting Klay. No, they're not getting any of those guys.
Oh, wow.
I think that's why he's stepping down. Quote-unquote, stepping down. Or maybe it's the LA Times thing.
What's the LA Times thing?
That there's a big story dropping from ESPN on how he treats his workers.
Oh,
whether that is a Me Too-esque story or whether that is just
That would be the least shocking Magic Johnson story.
Whether that's ever. He's just a tough guy to work for, we don't know. But that's what the LA Times wrote about the other day, yeah.
He's definitely not Isaiah Thomas, though.
No, I don't.
God.
Well, I don't.
Yeah, I hope we're not there.
Yeah,
that would be bad. That would be really bad.
Right.
Whether that's
in his personal life or whether that is, he's already done more to recruit stars to L.A. than Isaiah ever did.
You see Magic as one of those guys? He seems like so outgoing and happy-go-lucky that he would be like sort of like a touchy-feely guy and just be like, hey, you know, I'm Magic Johnson. So you enjoyed that slap on the back or pat on the, you know what I mean?
Right. A Joe Biden-esque thing.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Where he just like doesn't get it, you know?
Yeah.
I would not be surprised by that.
No. No, so I don't know. Again, I don't know what's going to drop in that story.
Interesting.
But I until that story comes out, I'm choosing to believe that Magic knows they're not getting anyone. And so he's trying to get in front of this because he said if he doesn't bring a second superstar, he's stepping down. And Kemba, to me, is short of a superstar.
Yeah, Kemba's really good, but, you know, it probably doesn't move the needle a ton in L.A. I mean, I know we're coming up on our time here, but, boy, if you're Anthony Davis, though, how do you feel about that Lakers
situation?
Right,
sorry, that's another one they're not getting. They're not getting Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel about that? But doesn't have to bother you. You're like, okay, this guy's my agent, Rich Paul, but it's clear that he has LeBron's best interest in mind, not mine, because he just blew up my whole season. For what? And now I'm this villain going out the door in New Orleans. Everybody hates me. I look terrible. My reputation has taken a beating. I still didn't get what I wanted, which was to be out of here. I'm still on New Orleans. I look at that and be like, this is ridiculous. Like, this guy works for LeBron. He's not working for me. Like, what did Rich Paul do to help Anthony Davis?
That's a good point. It's not exactly a good testimonial for Clutch Sports.
No, I mean, you know, you're in the biz. If you had an agent who did that, an agent who was more interested in boosting Arcan than you, how would you feel about
that? That's true. I would not feel great about
that. I mean,
that.
The guy would be a smart agent, but still, you know, how would you feel about it personally, Jones?
That's a good point. I wouldn't like that very much. Speaking of Arcan, Christian Arcan in the house.
Yeah, by the way, stock's going up. Don't know if you guys realized. Only 2 hours for you, 3 hours for me today.
Ooh,
and that was not a scheduling error. That was done on purpose, I heard.
Well, limit Jones.
I actually heard that was 100% a scheduling error. But regardless.
I was going to let you have that one.
It's okay. I'll be on until 4 o'clock today. I'm not even sure. McCone, are you with me today? Is that what's happening
shift,
here?
It's got to be for a little bit.
It's got to be. There's got to be a line change. There
all
has
right,
to be a
good.
Line change.
We'll have a changing of the guard at some point during the program.
Excellent.
We're going to start Bruins here and probably stick with that for a while. Joe Murray's coming in later, and we got Bruins hockey later on tonight. So we'll start with Bruins. Got some thoughts on the upcoming Celtics and Pacers series, and also the kid who was flying the drone over Fenway. We have some thoughts and some updates on that whole story too.
Breaking drone news.
By the way, where are the five questions? What, you don't do that now?
So you know what? We actually talked about it yesterday, and I said I was going to do it, and then I dropped the ball.
That's all right. It's a little hard to do at the end of the Sports Hub Celtics show.
You know what?
It's not really the
crap.
Format. Don't worry about it, Jones. It's fine. It's not really Sports
Fire
Hub
up
Celtics
the music, McElroy. We're doing it. No, I blanked on that. I should have done that. I already told you. All the damage I've done to this show is just...
No, it's all good.
Apologies in advance, Casper. Well,
Jones, you can stay for another hour if you want on your dime.
That's true. What do you think? My wife and kid are out there. What do you think? You guys want to hang out for another hour? Thumbs up back there? Yeah, no, that's a no.
We'll just leave.
Yeah, we'll just...
We're leaving without you.
It's my daily experience anyway. I'm like, hey, can I do this? No, you can't, Jones. You can't. We're going to leave you. 617-779-0985. You want to jump in line for Arcan? Do it now. You're starting Bruins over there, Arcan?
Yes, sir.
Some good drone talk I hear coming up. Mm-hmm. So jump in line for that. Gasper, it's been fun.
Jones, it flew by. It was a pleasure.
It was one hour shorter. That's probably the only reason it flew by.
Sorry to drag you in on a Saturday, but thanks for making an appearance. We appreciate it.
Always happy to do it. Get a little break from those two out there. Always happy to do it. Dial up Arcan. McCone has all the latest in-hub headlines, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.